Albert Schempelbaum has been a faithful soldier of the cross for many years, and he has selected as his lesson for this morning, Test of Endurance. Test of Endurance. Brother Albert.
Thank you, Brother Kramer. Sister Anastasia and I have been richly blessed by the attendance at this convention, meeting with you brethren once again, enjoying your fellowship, and partaking of the lessons that have been given thus far. We want you to bring to you the greetings from our class, small class in Southern California. They ask that we bring their love to you. And also, there was read from the platform that love from Brother Don Cannell, but I thought I would add a little. Brother Don Cannell had a knee replacement, and he is making good progress from what he told us. But when we talked to him, he said, you know, I can't put any weight on my leg yet. So he's hobbling around on one leg with the walker. But apparently the operation was a success, and he expects a full recovery. The convention theme, as you have it before you, Colossians 2, 6 and 7 reads, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And so we hope that our lesson this morning will be in line with that, a general thought. And our text is found in Matthew 24, verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. When we first made our consecration to the Lord, we promised him that we would serve him to the best of our ability, that we would be willing to do and suffer anything and everything that he would bring into our lives. We made a full consecration without any reservations. But we have found from personal experience and observation that there is a tendency to let down occasionally. We find that it's very difficult to always be going at the highest temper that we let down occasionally. And so as members of the body of Christ, we are admonished to continue going as faithfully as we possibly can. Also, when our lives are tranquil and there are no particular tests, but everything seems to be going smoothly, there's also a tendency to drop our guard and treat casually our relationship with the Lord. And so the Lord permits various experiences to come into our lives, some trying and some very pleasant. And all of these are intended to develop our character, to test our willingness to serve the Lord under any and all circumstances. These are all intended for our highest spiritual good, but they are tests of favorable circumstances as well as circumstances that we wouldn't choose for ourselves. I think that that it would be proper to say that if the Lord asked us to pick our own experiences, I would guess that most of us would pick the easy ones, the ones that we could handle without any particular struggle, those that would be fairly easy for us to contend with. But the Lord hasn't asked us as to what would be the, what experiences we would want. He has reserved that to Himself, which is, theoretically, we agreed that He would pick the best experiences for us. But they're not always the easiest. And by these, or through these experiences, we can, if we are properly exercised, develop the Christ-like character to the degree that the Lord is interested in developing in us. Not partially, but fully. We want to refer to Mark 4, verses 16 and 17, where it reads, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they had heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." Or as the Diaglot renders it, "they instantly fall away." And so here, according to our Lord, there's a class of those who hear the word and they accept it as the Lord's word. And they are very happy to have been given the understanding of the Lord's plans and purposes. And they make a consecration to the Lord. But when trials come, difficulties from family, friends, or people at work or neighbors, they are offended. They can't take the opposition, the persecution, the difficulties that may arise because of it, and they fall away. And then to contrast, in the 20th verse we read of this same parable of another class who are able to learn from the tests and trials the lessons of love and faith that enable them to bear fruitage pleasing to the Lord. And it reads, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit." Now, when we speak of fruit, anyone who has raised the garden or has raised any fruit trees, you know, it takes time. You must wait. The fruit does not come first, ripe and ready to be eaten, but rather it starts out very green, and it takes time. It takes months of growth before the fruit is ready for consumption. And so likewise with us individually, the fruit will come only after a period of testing, in accepting the providences of the Lord and developing this endurance that is part of the all things. One of the part of the tests of endurance, I believe, from practical experience and theoretically, is the ability to accept our experiences as from the Lord, as part of the all things. In this connection, I'd like to mention Sister Jane Connell's attitude towards her experience. This was well, I guess just a few weeks before she passed away. In talking to her, she said, you know, if I didn't need this experience, I wouldn't have it. Each one of us are promised that we will have trials, fiery trials during this time. And the Lord had promised us this in 1 Corinthians 3:13. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. There will be, there has to be. It's only through these fiery trials that the Christ-like character can be developed to the degree that it would be worthy to receive the divine nature. In my own thinking on this, I have concluded that each one of us, if we are worthy of the divine nature, must be so thoroughly tested in our love and devotion to the Lord that when we receive, if we are to receive the divine nature, we would never question the Lord's wisdom. We'd never say, well, maybe it could be done another way. Maybe it could be done in a better way. Maybe if it were done differently, we will have to have learned from our experiences beyond any doubt that the Lord's way is the only way, not only for us, but for the whole world of mankind. And so these tests and trials that we go through are intended to convince us that the Lord's way is the only way. That whatever He brings into our lives today and tomorrow and the day after is the very best for us if we are rightly exercised. You know, there is a, when we have experiences, we can react in two ways. We either accept it fully as from the Lord, or we say, well, somehow I don't think this is the best for me. I think this is too difficult. I think this is not enabling me to appreciate the Lord as I would like to. So we can go either way. You can either fully accept it, or you can hold back and say, no, there's something wrong with this. So each one in these tests is being tested in their loyalty, their confidence, their determination to do the Lord's will only. You know, the world of mankind is going through a terrific experience today, and they're learning that their wisdom is not sufficient. That no matter what they've tried, and they've tried everything. You know, in the fourth volume, Brother Russell had a chapter entitled Suggested Remedies. And so in his day, there were suggested remedies that people had. And they thought that if these were used or put into practice, that they would solve the problems among mankind. Well, today, you don't hear of any suggested remedies. Nobody has any suggestion. Why don't we try this and that will do it? They've tried it all. And we believe that even this is, the Lord is teaching mankind through their experimenting with everything they could think of, that there's only one solution, and that is His way. We are learning that experience also through the tests and experiences and the blessings He gives us, to learn that the Lord's way is the only way, without exception. It's not easy, because it affects our human preferences, our humanity. It affects our relationships, family relationships. It affects our relationships with the Bible student movement. You know, everything is not tranquil. Everything is not going the way we would do it. But in spite of this, it's still the Lord directing. And He's doing it the very best way. So when we begin talking about the trials or the difficulties, even among the brethren, they say, well, why? You know, it could be different. It couldn't be different. The Lord knows all about this. He knew that before it happened. This is the best. And we each must learn the lessons. Whether others learn the lesson or not, we can't control that. But we can control what we learn from these experiences, whether we accept them as the Lord's leading and act accordingly. There are disappointments among the brethren. The brethren told us that when 1914 came, October 1914 came, they said there were a number of brethren just picked up and left. They said, it didn't happen, therefore we're leaving. And they walked away from their association with the brethren. And they had a name for them. They said they were consecrated to a date. But this was a case of their expectation was so strong that the present order would be over and they would receive their reward by October 1914. And it didn't happen. And it seemed to crush them completely. And he said, well, they based their whole faith on the date. And so we have disappointments also. Anyone who's been in the way for any number of years has had things happen that they say, well, I didn't expect that. But the Lord permitted that as a test of our faith. Are we fully consecrated to the Lord? Are we trying to do the Lord's will today and tomorrow and the day after, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of whether we anticipated it or whether we didn't anticipate it, whether it's a complete turn of events. Nevertheless, we can be assured that the Lord knows and knew in advance exactly what would happen. We didn't, but He did. He's directing. And it's up to us to accept His providences in our lives and as well as among the brethren or in the world. You know, there are many things that have happened in the world during my lifetime that I didn't expect it to turn out that way. And I'm sure that's true of most of you, that things have changed drastically. But we accept that as part of the Lord's arrangement, the best for the world and also for us as His people. In 1 Peter, 4th chapter and the 12th verse we read, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. And so this is a admonition that fiery trials will come. And we're not to be surprised or dismayed or say, but I didn't expect that. Because the Lord had included that in His Word, that there would be fiery trials. Now, the Lord selects the trials for each individual. You know, we're different. We're different one from another. What would be a good experience and help develop a Christian character in one would not necessarily be equally good for another. And so, as Sister Sunbaum would say, our experiences are tailor-made. You know what is tailor-made? If you get a suit of clothes tailor-made, it fits you precisely. They've measured you and they've cut it exactly to fit you. No loose places, nothing too big or too small. It is just cut perfectly for you. And so we believe that these experiences that the Lord gives us are tailor-made. Now, it's easier said than done. I've been around long enough to know that to say that is one thing, but to accept it fully from the heart is not always that easy. But nevertheless, this is what the Lord is training us to do. This is what the Lord wants us to do. And if we expect to be among the faithful, we will need to learn these lessons thoroughly, need to accept them from the heart. Not only to be passive, but to willingly accept them and say, Lord, I want to learn the lesson that you have for me. we want to go on to consider Malachi 3, the third chapter, verses 2 and 3. Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now here the prophet is speaking of our experiences and the effect it would have on us as a refining of gold. Now, as we understand it, the refining of gold is done by heating the ore till it becomes liquid. Just heat it up until it's liquid. That's really melting it down. And I like to think that that's what the Lord is trying to do with us. Melt us down so that all of self-will, all of human desires and ambitions and so on are all melted down into His will. This, according to the prophet, is what the Lord is doing for us, for our development, for our development of the Christ-like character. And when I mention this, I'm not trying to convey the thought that it's easy. I'm not trying to convey the thought that we can do it perfectly. Because there are times when we can't do it as well as we even would like to. But at heart, we must develop a heart loyalty to the Lord that we would want to do it perfectly. We'd want to do it completely without the least reservation. But we may not be able to do it because of human weaknesses and so on. And in the refining, when the gold ore is melted down into a liquid, they tell us that the refuse, whatever is not gold ore, would just float on top of the metal. And then they just skim this dross off of it, and all you have left is the pure ore, the gold ore. And I think that this is what is pictured here, and it's appropriate in our experiences that the Lord melts us down so that only the Christ-like character likeness is left, that we don't have anything contrary in our characters, anything that would in the least resist the Lord's will. And so we're reminded of a statement that Brother Zano mentioned frequently: humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. To submit ourselves fully to the Lord's direction, submitting to the experiences that He permits to come into our lives. Whether we can do it fully may not be possible, but we certainly can reach the point where we want to. We want to do this from the heart. In reprint 1280, in the first paragraph we read, "None but the faithful shall be able to stand, because the Lord purposely will make the test so severe as to sift and shake out all others." Only the faithful will be able to stand. We know as Bible students that of the Spirit begotten, it'll end up in three classes or three divisions: the little flock, the great company, and those that go into second death. Now, the little flock is, by its title, a comparatively small group compared to the great company. So, if we follow that thought through, it would mean that of the Spirit begotten, the majority would not be of the little flock. They would be of the great company. And you know, it's all up to us individually as to which group we will be in. According to our ability to accept the Lord's providences in our lives that are intended to develop in us this character like unto our Redeemer. We'd like to quote again from the reprints, page 3865, and the fourth paragraph. "Strange as it may appear, yet in accord with the records of the past, the fiery trials seem to find the most dross amongst the leaders of the flock." And that doesn't sound right, does it? I think it's correct. The leaders have additional problems. You know, to be a leader among the brethren is a it can tend towards pride, whether in a large degree or a small degree, it can tend towards pride. I'm a leader. I lead study meetings. I give discourses. But we must be careful. Those who are leaders, according to this statement that Brother Russell observed in his day, that most dross is amongst the leaders. So it's not only the ones who are the meek ones that are hardly noticeable in the class that have dross. The leaders are likely to have more than the others. It's therefore necessary that each of us review our past actions and reactions as to whether we have always been directed to do that which was in harmony with the Lord's will, or have we deviated? Have we catered somewhat to our own preferences and doing it the way I like rather than the way the Lord had indicated would be best for us? And so it comes down to us personally. If I fail to make my calling and election sure, I can't blame anybody else. I can't say, well, these brethren or these sisters or this class did me wrong, and therefore I failed to make my calling and election sure. If I fail to make my calling and election sure, I can only blame myself that I didn't appreciate the Lord's providences sufficiently, that I didn't make the effort to lay down my all, that I held back a portion of that which I had vowed to the Lord, and therefore I failed. And this will be true of all of us, that we will not be able to blame anybody because the Lord has dealt with us as individuals. He doesn't deal with us as ecclesias or groups of Bible student classes. He deals with us as individuals. You know, this is contrary to everything that is practiced by the churches. When I was in the Lutheran Church, the minister said, well, in order to be faithful and to receive the reward at the end of our lives, there were a few things that we would have to do. One is that we would have to come regularly to church. We would have to pay our dues to the church. You know, you had certain financial responsibilities that you had to meet. And to lead a moral life, a good life. And I thought, well, that's easy enough. I guess I could do it. And I was assured of heaven if I just met those three conditions. Some time ago, I don't know whether all of you know, I have a sister and brother-in-law that are Jehovah's Witnesses. So I asked my sister one time, I said, well, what are my chances for eternal life? And she said, well, according to the Jehovah's Witnesses, if you join the organization before you die, why, then you'll have eternal life. But if you don't, then you go into second death. So it's not an individual. They don't think of it as an individual relationship, but a collective. You must belong to a group, and the Lord deals with them as a group. So if you're in the right group and you do what the group tells you you should do, well, then there's no doubt as to you're being blessed. But it's not an individual. Whereas we as Bible students believe that the Lord's instruction and blessing is to us as individuals. We are each responsible for ourselves, not as a group. You may be in the best class in the country, but you're still responsible as an individual, regardless of what the other members in the class may receive. But each one must answer for themselves. So we have an individual responsibility. And our experiences, as we mentioned, are given to us as individuals, not as an ecclesia, not as the Bible student movement, but individually. So each one must answer for themselves based on the experiences that the Lord gives us. We want to now refer to Ephesians 6:13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so we must put on the whole armor. A part of it, or most of it, is not enough. It must be the whole armor. And so we must be sure that one of the pieces of the armor are riveted together with love, and so that when the tests of our love are applied to us, that we would be able to stand against the fiery darts of the adversary. In Luke 21:19, patience is placed even above love, where we read, "In your patience possess ye your souls." That patience is the quality that we need. Patiently enduring, patiently accepting and enduring, patiently submitting to the experiences that the Lord permits to come into our lives. Not rebellious, not resisting, because there's such a thing as mental resistance. You know, you say, all right, I'll accept it, but I really don't like it. I don't like it. It just doesn't seem to fit me at all. So, that isn't good enough. We must, from the heart, be willing to accept the Lord's providences. The endurance must be done in a cheerful, a willing manner. We must be willing to accept cheerfully that this is the best for us, to endure wrong or afflictions of any kind that the Lord might permit to come into our lives without any rebellion. There's the expression that I like, and that is full acquiescence to the will of God, fully submitting under all the various circumstances and experiences that he would bring into our lives, that what he has given to us is the best for us, whether we can see it or not. You know, there are many things that come to us that we don't understand, and we may never understand this side the veil. But, you know, our experiences are similar to the world's. You know, the world's going through experiences that they haven't the faintest idea why they have to go through these things, because they don't see any good in them, It's trouble and more trouble on top of trouble. But we know that in the kingdom, looking back, they'll say, well, that was the best thing that could have happened to us individually and collectively. That was the best, even though it was difficult, even though we had no idea why. And the same with us. The experiences come to us, and the Lord doesn't always explain why this is best for me. Was it best for you? But it is the best. By faith, we can claim that. We read in James 1, verse 3, this statement, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The ability to accept the Lord's providence permits patience to grow, patiently waiting. You know, the brethren, after Brother Russell passed away, there was, that was a little before my day, so I can't speak from experience of the brethren there or that I saw what is happening, but reading over some of the reprints, Watchtower reprints of 15 and 16, the general impression was, just a few years, it'll be all over with. You know, it's just about over with. And this was a test on the brethren. The few years went by, and a few more, and a few more. And it isn't over with yet. And some brethren, because of this delay, had difficulty with it. Had difficulty so that as one brother said to me, you know, the reason we had to change our views, we had to, because this thing dragged out so long. Well, of course, it dragged out so long, and it's still dragging out. You know, for us, it appears as it's dragging out. But I think we can all confidently say the Lord knew. The Lord knew about this long before we even came on the scene, that this would drag out, and that this has proved to be a test of faith, test of patience, test of acceptance of His will. And we're going through the same thing even now. This continuing of the present order, the church not completed, world conditions have not reached a point of they've collapsed, and you say, well, why? Well, we don't need all those answers, do we? If the Lord doesn't see fit to give them to us, we can rest confidently that He is in full control, and He intended that it would drag out to test us. To test us if we would accept His will, His providences, the way He is working out His plan, not the way we would want to work it out. And it develops patience, waiting patiently for the Lord. Now, I often think of, it has been mentioned already, you know, William Miller started preaching in 1829 that the Lord would return in 1844. And you know, William Miller lived to 46, and of course he was given plenty of questions by those whom he had preached to, and they said, well, what do we do now? 44 is gone. What do we do? What do we do? And to the best of my knowledge, he encouraged them, wait. Wait, the Lord will soon return. Some were able to wait, but the majority decided that they had to make changes because it didn't materialize as they had hoped. So there is a tendency on our part, generally, to say, well, if it didn't work out the way I thought it would, maybe we have to revise things that it would fit better into what has happened. But, you know, thinking back on William Miller, the Lord knew before he gave him the message in 1829 that the Lord would not come in 44. The Lord knew that. And yet he let him preach 44, 44, 44, be all over with. And it was a great test on the virgins to be willing to accept that the Lord would soon return, but wait, wait, wait for the Lord to fulfill his promises and not start juggling things to seemingly make him fit for this disappointment or delay. And I think this is the same test that we're under today, because there is a tendency to try to figure out, well, if this didn't happen as we expected, maybe there's something we missed. Maybe we could understand some text differently, or to change the chronology a little so it would fit more accurately. But I think this is another attempt of trying to improve on what the Lord is doing. The Lord knew. Brother Russell was very confident 1914 would see the completion of the church, the world would go into anarchy, and so on. And here we are, 1994. And there is that tendency, and I would suggest that we be very careful about trying to readjust to make it seem more reasonable. Because the Lord has been fully aware of the disappointment of the brethren before us, the disappointment of some of the brethren today. You know, when I came in among the brethren, it was in 38. One of the first things I heard, you know where the brethren made a mistake, Brother Russell made a mistake, that the Jewish harvest was 40 years, but the gospel harvest is bigger, so it's a double 40. And the brethren had charts for this. I mean, they could prove it beyond a doubt that this was going to be a double harvest, so that all the expectations that they had for 1940 would be fulfilled in 54. The leading exponents of this didn't live the 54, so they never had to retract it. But nothing happened in 54. But it was an attempt, as I call it, to try to make it more reasonable. They had hoped for 14. It didn't materialize as expected. So then the tendency is, let's work it out so it's more reasonable. But I think that this is tampering with the Lord's arrangement to our own detriment. And so we want to keep away from that and wait for the Lord to fulfill his promises to us individually and collectively in his own due time, and to be willing to submit to his providences fully. The fiery trials, I'm sure, are part of this test, that it will prepare our Christ-like character if if we submit, if we accept fully. Now in Galatians 6:9 we read, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So here the apostle is bringing to our attention that it's possible for us to be weary. You're working, you're working, you're waiting. You start out with the brethren as a young man, and the expectations of the brethren generally is, why, you won't have to worry about getting old. The church will be completed before you get to be an old man. And some of us have lived and say, you know, we're not young anymore. And we want to be faithful. We want this for each one of us, that we would try with greater determination and diligence to accept the Lord's providence in full faith, that what He is bringing into our lives individually is the very best for each of us. And may the Lord add His blessing.
I think that only a soldier of the cross that's had to weather a few storms could present that message in the way that we just heard it. Thank you, Brother Albert. We'd like to close with Brother Albert's choice of hymn 258. Hymn 258. After the hymn, we'll ask Brother Albert to close. We'll remain seated for all verses, and we have a few announcements, please. Hymn 258, please.
Our loving Father, we come into thy hallowed presence through the name and merit of Jesus, our Redeemer. We thank thee, Father, that thou hast provided him as our Redeemer, that through his merit we have the privilege of coming to thee with our petitions, with our thank offerings, with our asking for forgiveness for our shortcomings. We do thank thee, Father, that thou hast opened to us the hope of the high calling, and may we treasure it even above life itself, that we might be faithful and receive a full reward. Grant us more of thy Holy Spirit working in and through us, and help us to appreciate all of thy providences as from thy loving hand for our spiritual good. Continue with us the further session of this convention. Bless him who will minister unto us, and help us to appreciate more and more thy loving favor and goodness. And we pray not only for ourselves, but for all of thy people everywhere the world over, especially those going through special trials and tests and temptations. And we do commit all of our interests into thy loving care, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just a couple of announcements, friends. First of all, as we mentioned, the checkout time will be at 1 o'clock today. A couple of book table announcements. I've been asked to announce that